are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Come on in the room. Come on in the room. Come on, lovely people. Come on. It's time for OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. And do we have a show for you today? So I'm going to get the room all warm. But when you come in, shout out from where you are. If you are a new listener, long-time listener, y'all know the drill. I'm Mara Gale, your host, and I'm super excited about my guest today, but I'm going to wait until a few more of you join us in the conversation. This is an important conversation. It's important because it deals with COVID-19, and it's important because these are my peeps, and I want to introduce my peeps to you. So invite your friends, hit your share button right now, and we're going to get the conversation started. Started in less than 2 minutes. Yes, you know how we do. And then if you have some people that aren't on Facebook and you want to share this conversation, be sure to share uptomeradio.com. That's up, the number 2meradio.com. They can join us online. And of course, later, this conversation will be available through a podcast. So you can check out my podcast wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. But I advise you to go to my show page at uptomeradio.com because you can connect with all of them right there. And we have friendly reminders letting you know when I'm live or when I have a new broadcast. And I know you want to stay involved. I know you do. So come on in the room, people. Come on in the room. We're going to get started. Matter of fact, we're going to kick this off in less than 30 seconds. That's what we're going to do because you know how we do what we do. Yes. So come on, warm up the room. Tell me where you're from. Tell me if you're a new listener or a longtime listener. And then we're going to bring in this family that I know is going to bless your soul. Yes, they are. Super excited. All right, let's get this show on the road, family. Thank you for joining us. My name is Mara Gale. I'm the host of OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. And you know what I love to do? I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. You see, I love helping people understand and see things in a different way. And today, I have a family with me. Mm-hmm. It's the Gaines family, basically the Grateful Gaines family. This family has experienced something that a lot of us have been extremely concerned about. I know as an African American, our community has been hit the most by this COVID-19 disease, and so virus, I should say. And so I am grateful to be able to give you all a perspective from the Gaines family that I believe will not only equip you, inspire you, but it'll help you not put yourself in a position or allow someone else to put you in a position where your family can also be impacted or affected by this virus. So I would like you to give a virtual hand clap to the Gaines family. We have with us today Dr. Frederick. We have with us Jamie, and we have with us Tiger Gaines. Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you.
Bless you. I am excited to have this conversation. But before we jump all the way in, I just want to let a couple of people know that two of you had contracted the COVID-19 coronavirus. And so before we jump into that part of the conversation, let me just ask you, is there anything that your family was doing outside of, you know, the situation that actually ended up causing two of the members to catch it? what were your routines like? Were you being extremely careful? So you were very careful not to go around anybody.
Yes. Yeah. We were hyper vigilant. I'm a teacher and I teach at a college. So even before my colleagues were spraying down their desks and I had spray and I would bless the desk and before my students came in. And then I would wipe the knobs and I'd had two different, my wife could tell you, I had two different hand things on each side of my room because I had about 50, 60 students in my evolution of hip hop culture class. And they come in and they know that I was going to spray the room with this, spray and
disinfect
it. And I wiped the knobs. And I mean, I thought I was doing it. And as a matter of fact, I was even getting on the elevator and cleaning the knobs on the elevator. So, some people probably looking at me a little crazy, but we refused to go out to shop. We had our food brought in to us. I mean,
we stayed in the house.
Yeah.
You did all the right things.
Yeah.
Except and Tiger, let me ask you, Tiger, were you on top of it? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know what they're saying in the news. Oh, the young people aren't catching it. Oh, they bounce back. Their immune system is so strong. It's like a flu. It doesn't even phase them. So I want to ask you, Sir Tiger, were you being as careful as Dad? Well, probably not as careful as Dad was, because he seems like he was kind of, and I'm like that too. You know, some husbands, you have to kind of drill, hey, babe, wash your hands. Come on in, do this. But because you've been in education for so long, professors and doing all these different things for the whole, your whole professional career, you knew working around kids would put your family at risk. Mm-hmm. So you were compulsive almost about it. Like I am. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, me. Yeah. A little bit OCD. Look, just a little bit. Tiger, were you the same way? Were you being as careful as, maybe not as careful as your dad, but were you being really vigilant about it?
I mean, in different ways, I was being like the same amount as if more, because I never left my house. Because I had the sickle cell trait or have the sickle cell trait. So we didn't know if my immune system was compromised or not. So I had to be on top of my game because I didn't know how it would affect me, because I knew it wouldn't affect me the same as every other teenager or people my age, younger people. So I had to be really careful too.
Okay. So how old are you, Tiger?
I'm 18.
18. All right. Now 18 year olds, y'all listening, right? This is a young man letting you know the real deal. He's giving you the deets on all of this. You're not immune. So you really have to be careful. So let's go ahead and unpack how did you contract COVID-19? And I'll then unpack and find out, how it impacted and affected the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can start, because, I think that the great temptation, you can be hypervigilant and you can be really, really focused and doing the right thing. But sometimes you make decisions that are really more emotional. My uncle called me and he normally never calls me and asks me to take him anywhere. But he was like, I'm not feeling well. And could you give me a ride home? And I had on my mask. I sprayed the car with the air stuff. I had on my gloves. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, he could have COVID. And I had to make a decision. Do I leave him and tell him to go ahead and walk, or do I pick him up? And so, I went in and I picked him up from he was a barber at the time. And, I picked him up and I took him home that time, I think. But, another time he just showed up on our door, for dinner. Jamie made some sweet potatoes and greens and some cornbread, and he loves Jamie's cornbread.
Wait, hold up. So do you think he smelled do you think he smelled it at his house? That he just gonna show up on your doorstep?
I don't think he smelled it, but I think he remembers what that buttermilk that buttermilk basket biscuits or cornbread is like, and her sweet potatoes and yams, and he doesn't, that's not something he gets often. But he normally does not show up at our door. And when he showed up at the door, I had to really make a decision. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Do I let him in? Do I send him home? And so we let him in. And I said, Uncle Irby, you need to, you know, you need to watch yourself. Yeah. Like, we need to
tell him how old he is.
Well, he was 71 then. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is my uncle who, you know, mm-hmm. I love him to death. He was the first in our family to get a college degree. He got a math degree back in the late 60s. You know, he has always been that eccentric, energetic person who was always moving. He was a salesman. He really was one of my role models growing up. But, you know, he is one of those guys that, you know, don't save any money. He works hard. You know, he's doing his thing. He lives his life. And and he shows up at our house. And we're like,
we feed him
and he's going in the bathroom and he's, you know, we're like,
and he started coughing.
Jamie's like, hey, we got to get him out of here.
So wait. All right. So Freddie, I'm assuming you see this going down because you ain't missing out on Mama's biscuits or her cornbread or her buttermilk deliciousness either. So was he sick? Okay, so when you first drove him, you know, took him someplace, picked him up from the barber and took him home, was how far between that and him showing up at your house was there?
Man, was it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. It was like a few days, I think.
It was within days. So he knew he was sick.
Well,
and see, you took him.
Yeah, he knew it. What he was doing is he was rationalizing. He was saying, yes. "Wait a minute. Every year, I said, Uncle Irby, you need to go see a doctor." He says, "Every year, I get allergies and da da da. I'm just right. And he says, "I'm gonna take some Metamucil." And he said, "I'm gonna go treat myself. I'm gonna go home and treat myself."
Right.
He's very stubborn. Right. And he did. He went home and
I don't have that.
Yeah, he says,
This is not that. You know.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
You know, I've been all over the city because he moves all over the city. I've been in, you know, because he walks around and gets on buses.
So home slice, I'm sorry, your uncle, was just rolling up on places like, you know, hey.
Every day. That's what he does. I mean, he moves around. He has this really high energy for a 70-something-year-old. He probably walks an average of 5 miles a day, literally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Literally. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So he brings it into your home.
Yes,
the home that and Tiger, we're going to unpack you with the predisposition to the sickle cell trait so that we can kind of share a little bit of that story with others. Mm-hmm. So he brings this into your home. And then Jamie, I'm Baird and came on board now. Wait, hold up. You picked him up. He was sick. And I know you wiped the car down and I know you were careful. But now I have allowed him to come into our home and he is now coughing. Explain or share with the listeners and our audience what that was like as the mom.
Okay. He started coughing and I said, Freddie, you need to take him home because he might have COVID. We are doing everything. When I say everything, over-vigilant, myself as well, just because of what we'll share later about Tiger. You know, we stayed at home. We ordered groceries. We did everything not to leave the house, period. We watched, I think, CNN 24 hours
too
a
much,
day,
too much.
Right?
Too
it much. Was all consuming. Right?
It must be the OCD thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So he can tell you everything about COVID.
Me too.
And so when I heard the coughing, I was like.
And sniffling. He was sniffling.
So Freddie, he took him home.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait. I forgot to ask this. Was he wearing a mask when he showed up?
No.
No, not
that. Okay, because I knew even if he was wearing a mask, he's coming to eat. I mean, well, he got there and he, you know, smelled the food. So, of course, he was going to partake in the vittles.
Yeah.
So he would have taken the mask off anyway. But he shows up without a mask.
Yeah, because he wore a mask when I took him home because I insisted that he have a mask and gloves. But when he came to the house, he didn't have a mask. Yeah.
Oh, my.
So we weren't wearing masks.
Yeah.
Well, when he drove,
you're in your home.
He was gloved
and
masked. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Comes in. He starts coughing and sniffling. And who? I'm Jamie. Did you say, hey, you need to take him home? And then you immediately.
And he started coughing. I was like, he needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He needs to go. We love him, but you need to take him home.
Yeah.
Right. I love you, but I love us more. Right up in through here. And so you took him home.
I took him home and I said, I told him, I said, Uncle Irby, you know, your friend, one of his friends had called me and said, your uncle, I told your uncle he should not be around you guys and that he needs to go see a doctor. And he basically cut that friend off. Now, this is a guy that he used to go have coffee with in the evening and they were good buddies. And he was calling him saying, Irby, you got to go to. And he said he ignored it. He said he stopped talking. That's how
he warned. So did the friend warn you before he shows up or afterwards?
I think I got his message afterward. I think that recorded it, and I don't check my phone, my messages every day. And I think I got that. You know what? I think I was laying in bed with a fever by the time I got that message. I think.
You know what? I need a little bowl of popcorn right now because this story is getting gooder and gooder. That's bad English, but good theology.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
So you get a warning. The friend is like, Mayday, Mayday. Something's wrong. Don't go around him. But you don't know this. And then you end up sick. Okay. So you get sick first or did Tiger get sick first? Who got sick first?
I got sick first.
You got sick first, but you all have three children.
Right.
Yeah. And they're off at college.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So wait a minute. One is at college, you said?
One is at Cal Poly. So he was out of the picture. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a student athlete there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Krista is in town.
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Oh, she's in Los Angeles. Okay. Yeah. So none of the other kids were in the house. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And none of the other kids were in the house. But Tiger.
Home. Yeah. Yes. Freddie could have actually been home technically, but he chose to stay at Cal Poly, which we were happy that he stayed there and kept going to school and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you contract COVID-19 and then Tiger, you catch it. And how much time between the two? Because I'm sure when you caught it, Dr. Frederick, that, you know, all antennas are now up. Did you go to the hospital to figure it out? Did you do a rapid test? What?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll speak to that. So
please.
This is April 7th. This is Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
He comes and says to me, I'm running a fever. And I instantly say, you are quarantined in the bedroom. And we, you know, because that was the only symptom, you can, in San Francisco, you had to have symptoms
at the time,
before you could reach out to your hospital to try to get a test. Mm-hmm. So that was Sunday. He gets quarantined straight. And I literally treat it like he's got the virus. I've watched enough CNN as well
I knew I had it.
You are going to be in that room with the door closed. Mm-hmm. If I have to come in there to bring you food, I will be masked and gloved, and I'm out of there. If you use the bathroom, you'll wipe down.
We use Clorox water to spray off everything.
Hand sanitizers, and he's straight back in the room. He does not come into any other part of the house.
In the kitchen, none of that. Yeah.
So that's Sunday. By Tuesday, Tiger, you want to take it from there?
I mean, I then contracted a fever, and my first sign was like I got a migraine, and it was really bad and like behind my eyes, and I knew like I've had so many fevers in all my life that was always like the first sign. Like I knew like exactly the time that I was like felt off, like I could tell, and that's when like my fever started getting bad, but yeah.
So, okay, so you get a migraine in the back of your, behind your eye, you said, or the back of your head?
Like my eyes, behind my eyes.
Okay, so you get this migraine, and then you get a fever. And Jamie, mommy antennas are now full alert. Mm-hmm. So you quarantined your husband to the bedroom so that he couldn't be in the common areas, but Tiger ends up contracting it. And I'm assuming you didn't contract it or you were asymptomatic.
We don't know. I didn't have any symptoms through the whole thing.
Oh my
God. There is a God story in the middle of all of this.
Oh, of course there is.
We'll get to. But with Tiger's case, because he not only has the sickle cell trait, he had the disease at birth.
Born with sickle cell, the real disease.
At 9 years old, he underwent a bone marrow transplant.
from Freddie. Freddie gave it to him.
So his brother was. So we went through all of that.
That was a miracle.
Right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's another whole story. So
I'm going to see about you, Tiger. This is truly a bigger story. I mean, because it tells me how there's so much purpose in your package. And I'm just meeting you for the first time, but I've prayed for you. Before I contacted your mom to do this show, I have been praying for you. When I've been praying for you too, Dr. Frederick. But I heard about it through Paulette, PJ.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm praying for you guys. Our whole prayer team had been praying for you guys just around the clock. So, Tiger,
Thank you.
Praise God. Okay, go back. You're more than welcome. I just wanted to let you know clearly there's a whole lot of purposes. The enemy tried to take you out so early in your life, you know, and the Lord, because there's always move and counter move or checkmate. You know, he's like, no, son, I got Frederick. If Frederick was born, he's going to give him a bone marrow. He's going to take care of that and he's going to live. And then the enemy comes again and tries to rear his ugly little head. And y'all like, No, God didn't help them once. He's going to heal them again. Okay, so go ahead, because this is your story, not my story. Go ahead. I just try to unpack it.
So as soon as he begins to run a temperature, there's always a threshold for him ever since birth with sickle cell, anyone that knows, 101.5. That is the point where you take them in to the ER. So I had to make calls to his specialist. Even though he doesn't have the disease anymore, but because he is a bone marrow recipient and as a sickle cell kid, their spleen normally goes away by the first year of life. And our spleens are our first defense against, you know, sickness. So I knew I was going to have to take him in. So, of course, I start placing all of these calls. And they said, look, when it hits 101.5, call us back. We will alert the ER and UCSF hospital that you're on your way. Mm-hmm. And so Wednesday morning, it was at 101.5, and I was taking him to the ER.
Yeah, and I'll just say that when Jamie was saying, look, it's going up, that's probably one of the lowest times in my life. Like, you know, I've always been a fighter, you know, been through a lot in my life. And so Tiger, and we've been through sickle cell with Tiger, but just feeling like I had let my family down. That, you know, here he had survived sickle cell, bone marrow transplant. Jamie and he isolated for 6 months, eight months or longer, isolated. Yeah, you're talking about isolation now?
No. So this is
you've already been through isolation, right?
Wow. This is like, wait a minute. Tiger just said, this is nothing. He's like, no. Y'all can't stay away from each other for 3 months. He was like, no, try 6 to 8 months of isolation. Yeah. Now, then you'd have a story.
And I was feeling it, and I was just saying, you know, how could we go through all of that? God bless us, and then, you know, you strike us, you know. So I was really concerned. And then not only was I concerned about Tiger, I was now concerned about Jamie, because I was like, all those stories I've been watching on CNN and where families go to the emergency room, they don't see each other again. And, you know, all kinds of things are going through my head, through my heart, you know, just, you know, will I, you know, and I was a fearful. I didn't want Tiger to go to the emergency because all the images I was watching on CNN was people, bodies being rolled out, bodies all in, people all in the halls. And in my mind, that's the picture I was seeing at this hospital where Tiger was going to be going. So,
well, of course, as a parent, you're thinking, you know, if they take my son from me and he's stuck in a hallway while being sick, he won't have an advocate. And you guys are extremely educated, and you're like, oh no, but you knew, okay, there was either take him and trust or leave him at home and, you know, watch something
bad happen.
Even worse happen. Yeah. You know, we recently had that situation, just a little sidebar. My mom had gotten sick and it ended up just being heat exhaustion. But my oldest sister was on her way to Las Vegas to visit my niece. And she calls and goes, she goes, look, do not take mom to the hospital. And she's in tears. I mean, full blown. And I'm like, well, first we got to find out what's going on with mom, because if it's serious, we've got to take her to the hospital. She was like, no. Cause if she gets there, we're not gonna be able to see her. And then she's going to die there and none of us will be around her. I said, calm down and breathe. Because let's first find out what's going on. And so fortunately for us, one of my nieces, who's a nurse, took her vitals. It wasn't, you know, fatal. She wasn't, it wasn't anything, but she was lethargic. So we did take her to a clinic, and eventually we took her to an ER together. And of course they did the test. Nothing was wrong with her, but it was just, it was heat exhaustion, but it was real. Yes. It was real.
It's real.
And I'm going to come back to you, Frederick, because you know what I want you to unpack for our listeners? I'm going to come back to you after we bounce around a little bit, because I want you to speak to the men, because there's that responsibility that we feel as the head of the household, as the shepherd. I'm supposed to protect you. And you had done all the right things, but a family member had come to your door. And in that one moment, you know, it was, do I let the family in or do I send him home? And you opted to let him in. But the moment you guys saw something, you said something, but it was too late. So we'll come, we'll circle back on that. So Jamie, you don't know that you have it or if you've had it at this point. He's sick. You've now, you all have made this choice that you have to take Tiger to the ER. I want you to pick it up and share with our listeners what was going through your mind, because we know the male perspective of, you know, it's his relative. Of course, he's your relative now as well. But you know what I mean? He's like, this is my blood. I didn't let him in the house and now put my family at jeopardy. What are you thinking?
For me, going through 10 years of sickle cell, it was like, put that hat back on.
Yeah.
And let's go to the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a familiar place for me. I've walked here before. So, and God has always been with us and always carried us. I didn't think about it. I didn't fear. I just did what a mom has to do. We just went. And the blessing was, we get to this ER, there's nobody else there. Nobody in the parking lot.
Stop.
Well, this is pediatric. So
yes. 17 was 17.
Yeah, it's pediatric ER. So there's nobody there. We walk in and we're the only people, you know. So they allow me in. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Pediatric parents can go in. And I got to stay in the room with them the entire time. They put us in this like room for COVID, like isolation room. And they would come in, they would call me on the phone if they just needed to talk to me. So they took every precaution.
So they minimized their risks in coming in the room. If they could get an answer over the phone, I'm sure if you could take his vitals and check everything, they would have had you doing that too. But they were like, okay, let's minimize our risk. And so let me just in a general fashion, so we can kind of have an idea. You said for 10 years or so, you had been dealing with the sickle cell situation. So about how many times, if you were to guess, or estimate, I should say, had you guys visited, you know, the pediatrics department because of sickle cell? And I want Tiger to kind of, and I know it's, you were young on some of it, but about how many times do you think, as an adult, perhaps, you know, as you were growing up, that you went? And Jamie's like, oh my gosh, I can't even count.
We knew the nurses.
Oh.
Personally.
Hundreds. It was hundreds. It has to be like hundreds. I don't know.
I don't think it's hundreds.
We lived there.
For me, it was hundreds. 10 times. It was like each time was like 10 times.
Yeah. That's what it felt like.
I don't know how many times we went to the ER.
But that
many.
Any
time was a hospitalization.
Yeah.
But it was a lot. I literally could not go to work. I chose not to work during that season because I needed to be available
13 years
as a mom to
be there at
any time. And we were always over vigilant with cleanliness and keeping him away from sick people.
Yeah.
We did everything that we could do. So we were experienced.
Yeah. You're like, no, we are the poster child for being careful, social distancing, and making sure our bubble is our bubble. And if we are exposing ourselves to anything, we're taking extra measures. So Tiger, I want to holler at you because I need you to holler at our young folk. Okay. I need you to from your heart, A, talk about what your journey has been like, because this has clearly been a journey, and then talk about where your strength comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, just for me, even contracting it, like from the beginning, I was scared. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen because, like, I didn't know if my immune system was going to fight it. Well, like, I didn't know. Like, it was as if I was facing death again for the second time after my bone marrow transplant. So it was really scary. But I could have been more scared than I was. And I don't know. I had a whole sense of peace came over me. And I knew that was God because that happened the same time. Like, I was in the hospital during the bone marrow transplant. The same thing happened. And it was just, it was hard because I had to really trust in God because I didn't know if I could trust in my body, to protect me. So like, yeah, it was really hard. And I was mad at the same time because we did everything. I didn't see any friends. I haven't seen any family. I was in my house, in my room. I didn't even come out of my room to see my uncle when he was at the house. Like, I was in my room. Like, I did not leave. So I was mad. Like, I was mad. I was confused. I was scared. But I could have been panicking, and I wasn't. And that for me was really surprising because I dealt with anxiety for a long time. And so, like, contracting this, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, the first thing that always came in my head was like the worst possible possibility. So that was really scary, but I had to really rely on my parents, like my family. We FaceTimed a lot during that time. I was FaceTiming my friends and they were constantly, you know, just distracting me from, you know, that reality that I was stuck in that moment. And that was really the thing, like those people, like giving me that sort of like, you know, just laughter, like, or motivation to just like be myself, you know, like,
yeah.
Again, because in that moment, I felt like I was on a road, you know, like it was it. Like, I don't know how to even explain that.
So you thought this could perhaps be the end?
Because I didn't know. Like,
right.
The possibility was there. I didn't know how my immune system was going to react because the doctors didn't even know. They were constantly checking up on me. I was constantly talking to my doctor. Updating her on any sort of new symptoms, like every couple of days. I don't like, it was frequent. And like, I don't like, it's really hard to explain because I don't know if me going through that bone marrow transplant helped me go through this as like, because I feel like it should have been a lot harder, but because I went through facing death before, like was on the edge. Like, my mom can tell you she was there when it happened, but while I was in the hospital going through that bone marrow transplant, my body rejected the blood and my organs started to shut down, I think.
Jesus.
And I was completely unaware. All I knew was that they said it was a code blue and all these doctors were rushing into the room on like from the whole floor. I don't know. They were preparing a room for me in ICU. All of a sudden, I just calmed down, like my body, and
just
I fell asleep. I think, Mom, like I don't know. Like, it was really hard for me to remember, but
so it was like a moment of panic, but all of a sudden,
I just
yes, yeah. And we had a friend of ours who was a minister.
Ooh, y'all not going to make me cry and mess up my little cute makeup. Y'all not going to do that to me today.
I will tell you what caused the peace to come over. When the doctor was there, the main doctor, the lead doctor, they were giving him his brother's stem cells. Okay. And his body began to reject them. Hmm. And instantly, all the numbers on the screens were just going haywire.
Oh, berserk.
She's calling pediatric ICU. She said, get him on the line, get a bed ready. And she says, do I push code blue or code red? And I'm standing right next to Tiger. And she said, push code red. And all the doctors, red or blue, they're going to rush in. Nurses, right. Everybody. He was in an isolated room. And so there's an outside room where everybody had to scrub down. So the pastor of the Lutheran school that he was attending came. And he said, I'm going to be there for Tiger. I'm going to be there. And at that moment, he looks through the glass at me. And he's like, what's going on? And I just said, pray. And at that moment, I leaned down in Tiger's ear. And this was my prayer. Jesus, we need you now. Mm-hmm. That was the extent of all I could get out. And all of a sudden, I watched his body calm. And then I heard the doctor say, he's going to be okay. We don't need the room.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be okay. And they started leaving. They were able then to start, you know, giving him the stem cells, and his body accepted them.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, you know, every and then there is a right now. You know, God is not a police that we could just call on. I shouldn't use the police example. That's not an example. It's really good for us right today. But, yeah. You know, but it's not like Pavlov. You don't ring a bell and then God shows mm-hmm. up. You know what I'm saying? But no. There are times where our words, you know, he doesn't need a big verbose, you know, conversation. We're in need. He is our present help. And he is always ready and willing to do for his children. And you, being a mom, is like, look, now, I don't know what's going on. Mm. I can't fix it. But I know somebody who can fix it. Ooh, yes. And in that moment, hey, you're telling the Lutheran person, hey, pray. And then you're like, listen, Jesus, I need you now. Mm-hmm. And in an instant.
Instant.
Yeah.
He was the Holy Spirit availed every piece of arsenal to Tiger's body, you know. And, and then he began to accept the thing his body had pre-rejected. That meant you were commanding his body to line up with the word so that he could receive the medicine that he needed in order to live.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Man.
Yeah. And just the fact that the pastor from a Lutheran church, he wasn't the principal. He was the head of the church, and Tiger went to the school, Zion Lutheran. And he was determined. He had some other stuff going on in his life. And he said, I'm going to stay with you. You know,
he wanted to be there for him.
He said, and there are people come in and out. But he said, I'm going to be here while Tiger's going through this. So I didn't have to go through that by myself when this thing went off. And the fact that Jamie could look right out at him, I think I had taken a trip.
He was out. You were gone.
I'm so glad. See, look, I'm the one who panics. Mm-hmm. This lady is a warrior. So Jamie goes into warrior mode. Mm-hmm. Like, she goes in, because, man, if something's happened to my kids, I panic. Wow. You know, I panic because, you know, I was like, you know, many times when Tiger's going through those kind of crises, it's like, I love my kids more than life. So Jamie is the kind that she just goes into this soldier mode, right, where she goes right into the – I was a college football player, so I know how to go into soldier mode. But it's not my kids on the line out there, you know. And I love my kids. So, but Jamie loves our kids too. But she's – yeah. So, you know, James is so – I know about football mode, and I know how to go into that soldier mode. But with my kids, that's my weakness. That's my weak spot. But Jamie has this. God gives her the grace to be able to be calm and just go into soldier mode, and that just helps me. And I thank God for that. I tell young men all the time, you know, make sure you get more than a pretty face. She better be able to pray with you. You know, you better be able.
Can
to
I get
pray
an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, I think
you gotta have it. But you know, it's also interesting. You know, we've seen how people go into that superhuman strength in a time of crisis. You know, where they took cars or where they dance and rescue somebody whose house is on fire. We've seen and witnessed these things, and God gives us this ability. And I think He puts that in moms because He knows, hey, you carry them inside your being, which I mean, and it's a part of you too, but it's like, they're like, hey, but I carried this kid, you know, I have the stretch marks, labor, and all of that, you know? And so it's like God infuses them with this beast mode, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we're going to battle for you. And obviously, but you gotta know how to war, right? You gotta put on that breastplate, you gotta put on that helmet, and you gotta, you know, so it's a process. And you're right, Dr. Frederick, don't just marry a pretty face, you know, in a shapely waist. You gotta look for all of that because you need the whole package. You know what I'm saying? You need the whole package and yeah, because it's the good times are good. You know what I mean? You don't need a whole lot in the good times. Things are good. Tiger, you ain't need your crew when things were good. But when you were down, they gave you a healthy distraction. Mm-hmm. When you were down, the pastor or the reverend from the Lutheran school.
He's in Texas now.
He shows up on, there you go. He showed up on your behalf. You need people to show up.
Amen.
When you need them. It doesn't mean you don't like them the showing up when things are good, but when I need you, I need you. I need you, man. Yeah. And in these kinds of moments, it shows you what you're made of. Tiger, if you could talk to the young before I go to your dad about this grown folk responsibility, because that's real. And I really want these brothers out here to understand what the responsibility feels like, but also to hear the heart of Dr. Frederick when he shares with you all how serious you have to take it in order to be a head of a household. Before that, Tiger, if you could say something to the young people listening, you know, in terms of, you know, maybe even just paying attention to your body or making sure who you surround yourself with are real people, not just the fake friends that, you know what I'm saying, those who, when you good, everybody's good, but those that are real, if there's a message that you could give to the younger people, what would that match be?
Man, just that during this time, I have really realized who, like, the real people are in my life because I knew who was willing to do what they needed to do to take care of themselves and, like, be responsible enough to take care of the people around them and their family and just, like, public decency to not go out and put yourselves at risk, therefore putting your family at risk. And like I learned who those people were, who those people like who are responsible enough, mature enough to make those hard decisions. Cause yeah, I wanted to see my friends too. Trust me, I miss my friends now so much. Like I lost my senior year, second semester, but I need to do what I had to do. And only a few of my friends, the ones that were contacting me, and encouraging me, those were the ones that were doing the same. And it's hard to, you know, choose your friends, like, because you've been with them for so long, but I had to. And those were the ones that were really serious and that really encouraged me to just keep going, to not be scared of what the worst possibility could be. So, like, take this opportunity to, I guess, really figure out who you are and what your, like priorities are, because this is the time to do it.
That's good. That's good. So instead of thinking of time away, it's the time you've been robbed of something. I mean, because anybody can be upset about being robbed of something. Senior year is like the joint. Everybody lives for senior year. You come in as a freshman looking forward to senior year. And to have that to not be the thing that you could, like, you know, rejoice in all the day. But then to say, hey, wait. My life was on the line again. So the message to the young folks is put your priorities straight.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What were you saying?
Sorry, yeah. Everybody else was happy that they could go out and see their friends or that they weren't in school anymore. And I was happy that I was waking up the next morning while I was sick. I was happy that
Jesus.
I wasn't, like, you know, having panic attacks every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, that was what I was happy about. Everyone was complaining, like, I can't stand the mask. I can't stand being in this house. And they don't even know. Because this quarantine is nothing compared to what I've been through. like quarantine. Like, I couldn't even go outside. Like, we had to get rid of my dogs during the old quarantine because that was a risk of me getting sick from them. Like, everything. So I knew, like, what it was to be. Like, I knew, like, how to be grateful. Like, I knew what my priorities were and what was important. So.
Tiger, you are such a strong young man, and what a blessing. You said, I'm just like, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to wake up every day while they're sitting there excited about being able to see their friends and hang out in a dangerous time. You're like, listen, that is not the end. I'm grateful to be alive and take some ownership, be responsible, if not for yourself, for those that you love and those that you care about. And that is the biggest message that I want people to get out of this. And who better than this right old soul 18-year-old who has lived multiple lives. Yes. And as I know, I will really say it again, yes, there's so much purpose in this package of a man called Tiger that I am waiting anxiously to see all that our God will do through you, because I'm getting a whiff of it. This show is only an hour. I could talk to you for 5 hours about this, because your perspective is not one of a kid. It's one of a person who has lived through this to be a messenger, to let people know what's real, what's Memorex, what's important, what's fake, what's false. You know, it is powerful to hear an 18-year-old perspective be that crystal clear and that purposeful. And I know that that's also a testimony to whom his parents are. So while we got Mama Bear went into beast mode and prayer warrior mode, and let's do what we got to do. Dad, I want you to speak to the men in as raw and transparent fashion as you can, the vulnerable place where you really had to face some things and sit with yourself in those things, because Dad, the one who kids look up to like mighty man, you know what I mean? Dad couldn't be that. And then wives are like, you know, I respect you. That's what the wife's job is. I love you and I respect you. And you're like, dang it.
Yeah.
Do this on my watch, when you were the person who was uber careful. So I want you to speak directly to, you know, how you felt. And then I want you to leave a message for the men so that they can make sure that they don't invite anything into their homes or bring anything into their home. They can't afford to be lackadaisical during this situation.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say, you know, it's I think sometime for men, it's, you know, we need to hear the real deal. And I can tell you that for me, I made the decision to allow my uncle to come in. So I think, first of all, men, you need to understand that everything you do is going to impact your family. There is no such thing as you're going to go out here and do this on the side, or you're going to do this on the side. You know, I've been through those things. You better believe one thing, whatever you decide to do is going to impact your family. And I just let my uncle come have some sweet potatoes, right? But in my spirit, I knew I should have stopped him. I should have said no and just let him be disappointed. And I think sometimes men, what we need to be able to do, say to people in our families, even people, extended families and friends, no, my family is too important. I'm willing to hurt your feelings in order to save my family, because I tell you, it's one of the toughest things I've had to do is watch Tiger and Jamie leave that morning to go to the emergency. I'm going to try to hold it together. But, you know, for men, imagine, you know, you come down in the morning and your son's about to go to emergency and you think it might be the last time that you see him. And you're just praying, you're trusting God all night. I've been fighting and trusting God. I didn't sleep much, but here I got to say goodbye to him. And I was hesitant to come down because I'm like, I don't want to expose him even more. And Jamie was like, you guys already have it. You need to hug him. Mm-hmm. And we just grabbed each other and we held on for dear life. And, you know, I'm a hugger and Tiger can be a hugger when he wants to. He just opens up and I just, yeah.
And can I say something real quick? It was, I knew it was God because I knew that my dad was in that moment vulnerable and weak. And I had to be that confident one when he has always been. And that was how, like, when I knew that it was really hard, that I knew it was God because I was always the one relying on his strength, on my parents' strength. And at that point, I had to be the one being strong for him. That was just realizing that, I think, is what helped us get through that, that we don't feed off of just one person, off of like our family, that we have to feed off of each other and each other's strength, and that we only got through it together.
Yeah, you know, I so appreciate that. I mean, you know, like I said, I had faith, you know, I never gave up, but it hurt. And literally Tiger was walking, Jamie, I told Tiger, I love him more than life. We cried together. He got ready to walk out. Jamie goes out to the car. I'll never forget it. Excuse me. She goes out to the car ahead of us. Tiger's walking in front of me. We're walking to the door. I go to the door. We had a gate in the place where we used to live. Tiger stops and he looks around and then he walks down the stairs. But then he gets down to the bottom of the stairs and he stops and looks around. And I just lost it, you know, because he was stopping to say, I knew he was saying, I may not see my dad again. And
Jeez.
He may not see me. And man.
You know, you know what love is. You know what love is. But in those moments, you realize how powerful love is and how it is our oxygen. It is what we live for. You know, when you have that kind of a love for someone, it's like you wish you could trade places with that person. Yeah. And isn't that the love of Christ? Yeah. You know, that God would give his son to trade places with us so that we could have that life more abundantly. And in that moment, that clearly was what you all were experiencing as a family. And as Tiger so wonderfully said, Daddy, you know, Mom and him were always so strong for me. And in this moment, I knew I had to like rise up and be what I needed to be for the family.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a role, right? Right. You know, there's no big anybody. Yeah, we have an order. There's a pecking order to things.
Yeah.
But everybody has a role. And I hope those that are tuned in and those that are listening in are tuning in, leaning in and listening in that you're hearing that. Your role in the family is not determined by who brings home the paycheck. It's not determined by who's the oldest. And it doesn't mean that if you're the youngest that you don't have a say. Everybody has a role. Everybody has responsibility, and that is such a huge part of this blessing of the Gaines family and why they can say that they are a grateful family that is full of gratitude. And I want to defer. We've got maybe about 5 or 6 more minutes left, and I want you guys, and I thank you so much for saying yes, because I knew you had a story to tell. You know, I knew you had a story to tell because I had heard about what happened. And as I said, our prayer group, Spiritual Fellowship Family, we have been interceding for you. But I had no idea, You know, you don't, everybody has a backstory, right? Yeah. And you don't know the whole backstory. Even in this moment, we didn't learn all, but we know enough to know what informs and who informs your decisions. And so that in itself is huge to those that are tuning in and those that are listening in to our broadcast. But if you would take the next few minutes, and I can give each of you a couple of minutes each to just, if there's something on your heart that you want to say, you know, that you believe would help our listeners as a mom or as a dad or as a son or even as a teenager and as someone who is in the education field, being careful, just speak from your heart and take a minute or two to share with our listeners and speak directly to them so that they can get what they need from this to be empowered. I'd really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I would love to share just a bit of what I had to go through having two family members quarantined in the same house, and I just lived in the living room and the kitchen. It was hard because fear is all around you. And the Lord just dropped in my spirit like that first morning. He said, I will be your shield. And I started wording scriptures that have shield in it. I will be your shield, just like the medical team, they wear the plastic shield. I will be a shield for you. And I began to research because every night that I slept on the couch, fear would try to rise up. And I would find those scriptures and the word of God. God began to lead me to specific scriptures that said he would be a shield around me. And when the enemy is coming at all sides, and I said, quarantine on one side, quarantine on the left, but God is going to shield me. God is going to help me. Because I said, Lord, how am I going to stand? I trust you. I'm afraid, but I'm trusting you. He would lead me to a scripture that said, I'm going to help you stand. I said, I can't even take a step. And he would lead me to a scripture that said he would be there to for me to be able to step and step and step. So the word of God became so real to me. God is so real in your time of need. When you cry out, he will answer. And I just want to leave that with someone, that you can know all the scriptures right now, but it's when you walk through your valley of the shadow of death that he will be right there. It's just a shadow. And he speaks to you. He walks with you. He became my shepherd. That 23rd Psalms became so real to me that he was my shepherd. And in him, I had everything that I was going to need. He was my protection. I never caught it, never had any symptoms, and I was able to walk them through it all the way to the end. So that's what I want to share.
Wow. That right there, when you cry out, he will be there. And you said he was a shield, and you were searching the scriptures. And then the scriptures became real, which is the living water. It became the very thing that nourished you and washed over you. His word will not return void. It is impossible for him to fail. And you got to know that to know where that strength is going to come from.
Not only know it, you have to believe it in that moment. I had to choose every night. When it got dark and the fear began to rise up, are they going to make it through the night? He's coughing. Is he going to make it through the night? I had to believe and choose to believe the word of God. And it was a struggle. Because your flesh is saying one thing and your spirit man is like, yeah, I believe. You got to get that flesh on board. It's like, yes, I choose to believe. God, your word is true. I choose to believe you that you're going to stay up so I can sleep tonight. I don't have to worry.
And also just her being sensitive. I mean, there was a time when a night where I went to sleep and then I didn't take my medicine or something. And so something made her come up and watch out for me, wake me up. But my temperature was 104, 103.8. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost 104, almost 104. So she had to call the emergency nurse to ask what to do. But thank God it was going back down. But like something told her that the Lord, of course, the Holy Spirit said, go check on him, because I had passed out and I was burning up. And so, but the thing for me, what I'd like to say is that for everyone. Just, you know, God has a purpose for our existence and for us being here. But there is time. You only going to have, you need to understand, men, because sometimes for us men, we put things off. Sometimes we don't say the things we need to say. Maybe we don't do the things we need to do because we're putting it off, because we're not being courageous. We don't want to face it. But you only have so much time. One thing that I remember is laying up in that bed was, what haven't I done that I believe that I should have done? What haven't I said to the people that I love that I haven't said? And I tell my wife, I love her every day, but have you really took the time to say why you appreciate her, what she means to you? I thought about writing something, but I just felt like time is running out, and God, you're going to spare me. I believed I was going to get up somehow, but I also knew that, okay, maybe I need to make sure all my business is in check. I mean, all these conflicting things are going on, but I just want to say to people, you don't have forever. You may have forever on the other side, but you don't have forever here. Christians die. Mm. Let me just say that again. Christians die every day. And what are you doing with the time that this blessed time that God has given you as a husband, as a wife, as a child? What are you doing with this time? Because when I saw Tiger walk out that door, I thought, we're going to spend some time. If we make it, we're going to spend some time. And I'm glad you made us do this, because I was resistant to it because I just didn't want to go there again. but you know, it's been a few weeks, been a few months since we've been through this, and you can get busy again. We've had to move after 25 years in the same house. Wow. My uncle, his brain was affected, so he was running around like insane in the city. We had
the after effects of COVID.
His brain was impacted.
We have more story to tell.
Yeah. So I had to take she had to take off 3 more weeks and help take care of him so that we could get him ready to go to Phoenix because his brain, he had brain issues. Yes. He could not function.
From COVID. Wow. Don't get COVID. Stay home and wear your mask.
Let me tell you, you don't want it. It's not a cold. It's not a cold and it's not a flu. If you think it's the cold or the flu, man, don't try it. Because, you know, you're having night sweats all night and your lungs, you don't know whether your lungs are going to start to stop up, whether you're going to start having problems with your breathing. Every night I woke up several times just to get up and do my breathing exercises to move around. Mm-hmm. Make sure I'm not sleeping on my back. Mm-hmm. Sleep on my stomach sometimes, you know. So that's what I...
It is not a pretty thing. And people, because, you know, they don't see all the ugliness. They don't see people passing out. I mean, and the Holy Spirit led you obviously into that room because you're like, oh, something's going on. Let me go find out. And then to hear that you all ended up having to take care of him because of the after effects of COVID. And I've heard a lot of people talk about their lungs were like that of a 90-year-old because of the disease.
Yeah.
There are long-term effects for many people with COVID. We're grateful because it doesn't seem like these two have any of the after effects. I'm grateful because it didn't have to be that way.
Didn't have to be.
I'm grateful. God has watched out for our family and he's brought us through.
His grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiger.
Tiger, we're gonna let you have the last word on this show, because I believe you've got a message for an additional. You've given a lot, but whatever your closing thoughts are, we're gonna defer to you because I need these young people to hear you so that they can keep us safe and their grandparents and relatives. Please go ahead and take it away, Tiger.
Well, I guess I just want to say that throughout this whole time, I was very reliant on the community around me. I don't think I ever told my parents this because, like, I was supposed to be sleeping early every night that I had COVID, but I would stay up and I would pray on the phone almost every night with my girlfriend. And after that, I would be able to go to sleep. I would stay up stressing every night almost. And I was born, you know, into a Christian household, but I never prayed every single night. And that is something that I really did. And I don't think I would have been able to do it like by myself, because I would have just stressed that whole night. But I had to rely on somebody else to be there so I could, you know, even just pray, even just calm down and pray. And we didn't talk about this, but we had so many people that came to our doorstep and dropped off food for us and supplies and toilet paper, hand sanitizer and Gatorade, Pedialyte. I don't know how we would have even done it without all that, without the community that was like surrounding us. And everybody went out of their own pockets, out of their own, the kindness of their own hearts.
It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. Wow. Really, I can't even start calling off names because I'll get in trouble. But like so many people went out of their way, and you just felt their strength. You felt like people loved you. You sometimes you think, well, I'll die here and, you know, it'll be over with. And, you know, but to know that people care enough to come out of their way.
Yeah.
And it was different this time, because throughout this time, the community really showed up a lot more for me that I noticed, because during sickle cell, none of my friends were there. I got one letter from them in the very beginning. And after that, I didn't hear from them. And it was really to have that community surrounding us and loving us and showing us so blatantly how much they cared. So like, I guess my message is just to go out and show people how much you care and how much you love. Sometimes that's going out and showing how much you love is staying home and calling up. So
that's profound. That is like simplistically profound, that statement right there. And I'm going to allow that to be the last word that we unpack on the Omara Gale Radio Show. Well, I'm sure you have realized and with a blessed and encouraged I am by your story. I pray that God continues to bless your family. I pray that he continues to open doors that no man can close. I pray that God blesses you with perfect health and perfect peace. And I pray that he makes every crooked place straight. Pray in the name of Jesus. There will be no, absolutely, positively zero lasting effects from the COVID-19 disease. And I pray that all three of you will continue to fulfill your purpose on earth, because as long as there's a pulse, there's a plan. May God bless you today and for always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And for those that are tuned in to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show, we thank you for tuning in every Thursday, tuning in, leaning in, and listening up. We pray that you come back and meet us here on Thursdays. We're going on a hiatus, and I thought we'd leave on this note so that for the month of August, you guys can play this. You can share this as a podcast with your network to remind people, if you love someone, stay in. Go and do something for them. And the best thing you can do for them, in the words of Tiger, is stay in. You can do that for them. So go and do that. Tiger, Jamie, Dr. Frederick, thank you, thank you, thank you, like a thousand times. May God bless you.
Keep up the great work. God bless you.
You got it. Thank you. Love you guys more. Bye bye.
Love you. Bye
bye.
Bye. Thank you.
And don't forget to check out our podcast series, Pandemic. Visit uptomeradio.com. Pandemic is a roundtable discussion that was held over the course of 3 days, where 10 different radio show hosts, including a medical doctor, all got together to talk about their perspective of COVID-19. We talk about the unrest as well as the hope. This pandemic series will bless you, inspire you, and equip you. Visit uptomeradio.com. Look for pandemic and share. God has prepared us. Are you listening?
Wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.